Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It is Dom time. All right, when we see this huge national story, thank God we have in the bullpen warming up when Fox doesn't put them on 24-7, Dom Giordano's show, we turn for some sense of calm and clarity. Clarity is always in what the heck's going on and will go on this week. Andy McCarthy joins us again here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Andy, good morning. Thanks for checking in. How's the Fox schedule today?
It's busy, but these are busy days. So a lot of fun and a lot of, I guess when I'm having fun, it's not necessarily good for the country.
Well,
that's the trade-off we deal with.
Right. Your book certainly is good for the country. How's the book going?
It's going great. Thank you for asking. I appreciate Faithless. I'm talking about Faithless Execution, which was my last book, not my current book, because that's an impeachment book, and as you and I have discussed, I wasn't smart enough to wait for Trump to be president to write it. I might have made a few bucks on it, but Ball of Collusion has been a real success, and I'm very, very grateful.
Well,
it's not only to you, but to everybody who gave me a platform to talk about it.
Well, absolutely, Andy. So moving forward now this week, I'm looking at, let's take the practical matter versus the substance first. This is not getting traction with the American people. Do you sense something this week? I guess the Sondland moment will be the major moment. That'll be the next moment. There was not a moment on Friday, except for when Schiff announced the president had tweeted. Let's go back to that. I'm sorry. Let's go back to that first. I don't know anyone that seriously says that that was something impeachable. Do you have any sense that it could be?
Well, certainly Schiff suggested that it was. Adam Schiff, the chairman of the committee that's conducting this debacle. And I think, unfortunately, the timing of that, which I think was very poor judgment on the president's part, gave Schiff the opportunity to accuse the president of witness intimidation and then basically take a break so that, you know, for about an hour, the only thing that sunk in was Schiff's characterization of what had happened. Dom, I should say at the outset, I don't think any of this is serious enough to be impeachable. But what I've always thought, you and I have discussed this for years now, the real Democratic agenda here is not, they know they're not going to remove the president. What they're trying to do is make him unelectable politically when we get to the stretch run of the 2020 election. So if that's the agenda, and it's not impeachment, that's what I think the agenda is political, then it's damaging for the president for this to be dragged out and them to try to, itemize this abuse and that abuse, which even if it, again, doesn't amount to an impeachment and removal offense. It has a political drag on the president over time.
But this week then better do it, Andy, because I'm looking at the polling data, I'm looking at the viewership, and they're not moving the needle on that. So again, right. I don't think there's any moment. You have to, the people that are paying attention are already kind of locked in by and large. I don't know how many persuadables they brought in to take a new look at President Trump. So what is it this week? Is it Sondland? Is it something else that might give it a moment that gets out there beyond the usual people watching this?
Yeah, I think, Dom, that you could put Sondland on and then cancel the rest of the week, because it seems to me that Sondland is the ballgame as far as the Democrats are concerned. And again, I don't think they have an impeachable offense. But Sondland, at least from their perspective, is the one who has direct conversations with the president and who has changed his testimony to now say that there was a quid pro quo. So he, depending on how his testimony goes, potentially for the Democrats, he does away with the big Republican critique last week that this is all just a bunch of multiple hearsay. And he establishes for their purposes that there was a quid pro quo involved. Now, I should underscore that that's their allegation. And let me just be clear. I've always thought the president's best defense here is that this was no harm, no foul. Nothing actually happened. I assume there's always a quid pro quo in foreign relations. A quid pro quo, as we've discussed, is just a Latin term of this for that. It just means exchange. It's not necessarily corrupt. And you would never I want to make two points about this. Number one, a point that Mark Levin has been making, which I think he's exactly right about, which is when the Constitution talks about bribery as a predicate for impeachment, what the framers were talking about was not a federal impeachment, a bribery statute, which didn't even exist at the time. What the framers were talking about was bribery in the nature of something like treason. In other words, a foreign power purchases the president to do the foreign power bidding. So what the Democrats want to rely on is the technicalities of the federal impeachment statute in the penal code, which doesn't require a completed bribe, and in theory says an impeachment, a bribery is complete when you've made a corrupt demand, whether the bribe actually happens or not. That may be good enough for the courtroom. It's not good enough for impeachment. So I don't think they have a case on that. And the other thing I'd say is even if they did, I don't think as an experienced federal prosecutor that they could ever prove corrupt intent beyond a reasonable doubt in the president's connection, because the statute that calls for giving aid to Ukraine requires the executive branch to certify that the Ukrainians are trying to root out corruption.
Andy, I want to underline that. Go ahead. But I wanted to underline that. I haven't heard that enough. That's right.
Yeah. So the president would be able to say, you know, look, maybe I didn't do this in the most articulate way. Maybe I should have said, you know, we want you to root out corruption no matter how high it goes, even if it affects people who are attached to our own government, without saying the Biden's names. You know, he could say, maybe I could have done this better. But the fact is, I am the president. I have a constitutional responsibility to execute the laws faithfully. And the law that Congress passed to give aid to Ukraine requires us to make sure Ukraine is rooting out corruption. And this was my way of rooting out corruption. Now, you may not think that he did it in a good way, but the fact is that that's what the law says. And in a courtroom, you have to prove somebody's guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. So if we're going to talk about the federal obstruction, the federal bribery statute, I think it's it would be a loser for them in a court of law. And as I just said, in impeachment, I don't think they're talking about the federal bribery statute. What we're talking about, what the framers were talking about, is a foreign power bribing the president to do the foreign power's bidding rather than the American people.
That is beautifully put. I see why Fox plays the big bucks.
Maybe I need a raise.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know how your manager, because I have a great one, and you certainly are. No, I am thrilled with that, though, that Fox sees that. And I know it's very intense, and I couldn't be more appreciative of the time that you grant us whenever needed. Roger Stone now. Immediately, people started on Twitter, not that I think this is going to happen with the president, to be pardoned. I didn't follow every nuance of the trial, but I did follow the way they arrested him, vis-a-vis the way they arrested Manafort, maybe even more going after Stone in this. And it seems to me that you make a case, a lot of this is just because he's connected to Trump. What did you think happened with Roger Stone?
Well, I think, Dom, that with Stone, we've always had to separate out what was important for the country versus what was important for Roger.
Mm-hmm.
What was important for the country was the question that he was kind of in the middle of, which was there a cyber espionage conspiracy between the Trump campaign, WikiLeaks, and the Kremlin. And I thought, I always thought Roger Stone's case was kind of a textbook proof that there could be no such conspiracy, because obviously if Trump had a hotline to Putin, he wouldn't need to be relying on Roger Stone to find out what WikiLeaks was up to, right? So I thought that, to me, as far as the country's concerned, the thing that the Stone prosecution raises is the question of, when did Mueller know he didn't have a collusion case? It must have been very early in the investigation. So why did he continue the investigation going for 2 years after that? As far as Roger personally is concerned, I've always thought that the process case that was made against him was a very strong case, because a lot of the witness intimidation was done by text. So, I thought it was a measure of the strength of the prosecution against him was the fact that he elected not to testify in his own defense, because I think he perceived that he was going down in flames, and the way that you can exacerbate the sentence that you will ultimately get is if the judge thinks you take the stand and try to lie your way out of it. So I think to protect himself, he didn't testify. It was pretty clear he was going to be convicted. But again, underscore, conviction of the process of investigating the collusion case is a very different thing from the collusion case.
Exactly right. And look, he is a guy, I mean, on my own show, he said some stuff. I was ready to call you and said I should have bleeped him, or not cursing, or, but I mean, stuff that I felt like we're getting drawn into something here. This was around the delegates to the 2016 convention and telling people to knock on their hotel doors. He'll provide it and stuff like that. He's a really provocative guy. And when you go into a courtroom with that, I think people know about that, and that's going to exacerbate just the way. But I mean, the tell will be the sentence he gets when New York wanted to put Manafort at Rikers Island. I mean, my God, you know, there's
yeah, Dom, I think this is all overkill. I really do. And what I think most people object to, I know that I object to it, is the seeming, not seeming, but the reality of a two-tiered system of justice. I mean, we see the way that these guys like Papadopoulos and Manafort and Stone get hammered in the investigative process, whereas in connection, for example, with the Hillary Clinton emails investigation, there seems to have been nothing but a sham investigative process, and they were permitted to mislead and withhold information from investigators at will with no consequences. And now people are asking, naturally, since we have this investigation of the investigators, are they going to be treated the same way that the people who were investigating the Trump-Russia case were? That is, if they misled investigators or they abused their powers, are there going to be consequences for that?
Well, that's the long-awaited, Andy, very much. When do we next see you on Fox?
I will be on, I'm delighted to say, Outnumbered.
You love that show. They love having you on that, yes.
What's not to love?
Exactly right, but I've seen you on there. I don't know if it's double figures times now.
I sure hope so.
All righty. Well, Andy, thank you so much. If we don't speak, have a great Thanksgiving with your family. Thanks for the great advice and counsel.
Thanks so much, Dom. You too. Thanks so much, and thanks to your listeners as well.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.